Let's open to the book of Luke, chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, verse 8 to 15. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You'll find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly, there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, "Let us go straight to Bethlehem then, and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." Let's pray this morning. Father, we just thank you for this incredible gift and this incredible story of redemption. And Father, we just are so grateful that we can be a part of it. And Lord, we just want to honor you this morning. We want to please your heart. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. One day as I was reading through Christmas cards, there's this one Christmas card that sort of made me laugh, and the card goes like this: "Christmas is just plain weird. What other time of year do you sit around staring at a dead tree in your living room and eat candy out of your socks?" And as you think about the Christmas story, there are a lot of things about Christmas that is really weird. And if you were trying to explain it to people, you know, yesterday at EMP, Pastor Sam talked about, you know, explaining the gospel, that as believers we should be able to explain the gospel and things like that. And if you think about certain things about the gospel, it could sound pretty weird. You know, for example, a virgin teen becomes pregnant, and then it's going to be a baby that saves us from our sins, and then it was God who is this, you know, this being or just something, comes down and wants to be a human being, you know, and so that is kind of a weird thing. But if you look at the passage, there's interesting, look at what the angels tell them. It says, "I bring you good news of joy that will be for all people. And today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. This will be a sign to you." And there's, you know, if you were to emphasize all the yous, you see how personable this baby and this God is, and that he's going to be your Savior, your King, your Christ, your gift, straight to God, just for you. And God wanted us to see the incredible personal nature of this gift, that it wasn't some ideology or it was some just broad government handouts, but it was a personal gift, and he wanted us to see that. June 21st in 1982, at 9:03 p.m., the future King of England came into this world, and his name was William, Prince of Wales, born to Prince Charles and Diana. And this boy was the legitimate heir to the throne. And there was just a huge announcements, you know, the media, the news, television, everything like that. And it was just a big fanfare, a great anticipation. Everything like that. But when the King of Kings came into this world, it was totally opposite. You know, just imagine you walking down the streets and inside of a sort of an abandoned car late at night, and you see this mother in the back of an abandoned car in some alleyway giving birth, and you couldn't tell, you know, who it was or what was going on. And she gives birth in the back seat of this abandoned car in an alleyway, and that would be the Savior of the world. You know, to imagine that, it just doesn't make much sense, and you would probably question the legitimacy of all that. But that's sort of how Jesus was born into our world. He was born in a manger, in a stable, and In North Korea, we got to spend some time in the farm, and one of the most smelly places was the area where the pigs were, and then we got to see what the pigs eat, and it just reminded me of the Luke 15 prodigal son passage of, you know, how the son, after he spent all the money and did all of his thing and wanted to go back and you know, maybe he could even eat what the pigs eat. I was like, wow, this is really, really incredible. And the smells in there and the environment, you know, where the goats were, you know, all over. I didn't notice it, but my son noticed it. He's like, Appa, Appa, there's poop all over the place, you know. And I was like, oh, yeah, there's poop all over the place. And the smell wasn't actually that bad, but, I mean, you notice it. But to be in that kind of environment and just thinking, you know, that's sort of the environment where Jesus was born, is a new reality. It's just you know, very poor conditions for a savior, for a king to be born. But he was born not in a nice hospital bed. He was born in a stable, in a manger, on a barn. In a book, Ken Geyer writes this. He said, "Where you would expect angels to be, there were only flies. Where you expected heads of states to be, there were only donkeys, a few cows, nervous sheep, some camel, and some scurry barn mice." And so God chose a stable, a manger. And he does this to show that he came for everybody, not just for the upper echelon of society, not for the rich, not for the wealthy, not for the famous, not for the successful, not for the VIPs, the important people. When his birth was first announced, it came to the lowest of the lowest, the shepherds of the fields. And it was to them that he first announced the birth of his son. And so Christ came down and he was born in Bethlehem, first, obviously to save the world, but one characteristic or one reason that is really important for us as people is that he was born in Bethlehem to identify with common man. Jesus wasn't born in the house of royalty. He wasn't born in the house of riches. He wasn't born in the house of a celebrity. He wasn't even born in Jerusalem, right? I mean, in regards to, you know, Prince William, you know, born in London, you know, the finest hospitals. You know, he wasn't born in Seoul or Beijing or Tokyo. He wasn't born in Jerusalem or Rome or Athens. He wasn't born in any political, commercial, cultural, educational, technological, significant city of the day. In fact, Micah in the Old Testament foretold the birth of Jesus in Bethlehem, and he emphasized the lack of significance to the world. He says in Micah 5:2, "But you, O Bethlehem, are only a small village among the people of Judah. Yet a ruler of Israel will come from you, one whose origins are from the distant past." And Bethlehem, according to some commentaries, the translation of Bethlehem is a couple, but one of them is the house of bread. Bethlehem, the city, the translation, it could be translated the house of bread. And you notice how bread is, you know, one of life's most common things for sustenance. And it's interesting how Jesus wanted to, or Jesus was born in Bethlehem, the house of bread. Bread being for the common man. It wasn't for the religious elite. It wasn't for those with huge political clout. But it was in a manger, a common animal's feeding trough in a lowly stable. And, I mean, you've heard it before, but just like I said, experiencing on the farm, you just seeing how dirty the conditions are. I mean, I highly doubt that Mary and Joseph or anyone else took time to clean the trough. You know, there would be no reason to. There probably wasn't enough time. And just how dirty that trough is. We can sort of imagine just the dirtiness of the conditions, but just experiencing that, it's just really, really unfit for a king. Really unfit. And so Jesus comes to earth for common man, but he also comes for the gift of reconciliation. And Christmas, the birth of Jesus, is a reminder that God desires to restore a relationship between us and Him. And so the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And so suppose you were in a fancy restaurant and you were wearing a sort of old worn-out T-shirt. You didn't know that there was a dress code. You came back from golfing or something, and you came in your casual clothes, and so you go to this restaurant, and the maitre d' informs you there's a dress code, you wanted to sort of take your wife out on a nice date in a nice place, and all the other places there's no reservations. You have a reservation here. You have no other options. You're tired. You're hungry. It's late. And there's no other alternative but to beg. You know, you don't want to mess up royally with your wife or girlfriend, and so you just beg. And then the maitre d' says, "Well, let me go ask the manager, or let me figure out what I could do." And he leaves, and he comes back, and what he does is that, well, there's really nothing I can do since the dress code is very strict. Except, and then he begins to take off his tuxedo, and he begins to give it to you in exchange. Since he can't be, you know, without clothes, he says, "Well, just give me your T-shirt, and I'll give you my tuxedo." And he gives you a tuxedo, and so you're ready to go. Maitre d's, you know, in a T-shirt, and you walk into the restaurant, and you look fabulous. You know, it's you look great, and no one has any idea of what the transaction happened. And you sit down, and you have a wonderful meal, and here the maitre d' is in the back having to wash dishes because he's in a T-shirt. He has to do things appropriate to his dress. He has to, bust the tables or whatever he has to do. And in a simplistic fashion, that's sort of what our God did for us, that He decided to switch places. He decided to take off his royalty to come down to us and identify with common man. That He took upon Himself our flesh, our sins, our guilt, in order for something amazing to happen, so that we could experience eternal life through the gift of His Son, Jesus Christ. And so, as we come closer and closer to Christmas, it's not just this day where we celebrate with one another, but what we celebrate with one another is really important, and that's the incredible gift of sacrifice, a gift of love. And as a parent, it's you say that you want to be able to love like that, and you hope that you do, but just to think about that kind of love is just it's just immeasurable, just so incredible. And so I want us to meditate on that, and if you could just bow your heads with me this morning as we think about the exchange that Jesus did for us. If you think of the exchange, because most people, when we want to exchange things, whether it be money or objects, we want to upgrade, right? If we're going to purchase an item, we want it to be a good deal. We want it to be an upgrade. But from God's point of view, he didn't upgrade. In fact, he downgraded big time. And for us, we got an incredible upgrade. We went from death and we upgraded to life. We went from darkness and upgraded to light. And so what an incredible gift that we received. And so my prayer for us this morning is that we would remember, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men, with whom He is pleased. And when the angel had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, "Let us go straight to Bethlehem then, and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." Together. of your Son. Lord, help us to remember each and every day that you're the reason why we are here, and you're the reason why we live. God, we just ask for just greater awareness of your presence today. Thank you, Lord. Let's begin to lift up our community in prayer, and let's just begin to ask the Lord to intervene and bring some healing to those who are in need, and ask God for mercy. And so let's lift up those with cancer and going through recovery and chemo and transplants. And so let's pray to the Lord and ask for healing. So let's pray. Salvation, even though they're sick, and let's ask for healing over their sickness. But let's ask for them to experience Christ and to receive Him, especially as Christmas is coming up. May they know the story of Christmas, the story of Christ. And so let's lift them up in prayer right now. For those who are also struggling with illness, and let's ask the Lord to give them a touch of healing. And so let's just begin to lift them up in prayer right now. Thank you. let's lift up those who are looking for jobs and employment, and let's ask the Lord to open doors for them, and that they would make connections with the people that with the right people, and so let's lift them up to the Lord. For our mission focus for today, and today Japan and Thailand and North Korea, and so let's just begin to lift up those countries and the servants that are there, and ask the Lord to really do something powerful. If you may have heard that North Korea has launched a missile, and so we don't know what that means or what that means for the future, but let's just begin to pray over that nation, that that God would make Himself known in all these nations. So let's lift them up right now. Up our SP ministries, and today let's lift up Noah's Ark Nursery, youth group, men's and women's ministries. Let's pray for the leaders, the pastors, also the volunteers, and ask the Lord to equip them, empower them to impact our next generation. And so let's pray for their growth, and let's just pray for their well-being. So let's lift them up. For our house churches meeting today, Conduit Island, Robinson Elements, and let's ask the Lord to use this time as a time of just incredible giving and sharing and community and love and service, and just let's ask the Lord to bless our house churches today. Thank you. Father, we give ourselves to you. We give of ourselves and we lift up these people in prayer, and we just want to see incredible stories and testimonies, but we want to see your glory through their lives, God. We want to see your glory through transformation. We want to see glory through your provision for their needs. We want to see your name be high and lifted up. We want to see your glory through the answers to our prayers, Lord. And we continue to lift up those who are sick and those who are ill. And we lift up our servants on the field and our servants all over the world. God, we just ask, Father, for your hand to be upon them this morning. God, we thank you for the gift of your Son to save us, Lord. We praise your name. In Jesus' name we pray.